Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14 this morning, please. Joshua chapter 14. As I mentioned in Sunday school, thank you so much for the opportunity to be back here. It's been about a year. Your pastor was out of town, I think, last Thanksgiving weekend and asked Ruth and I to come. As I mentioned, you wondered, did I do such a bad job that I'll never get an opportunity? And so it is a blessing when he contacted my pastor and asked if I was available, and praise the Lord, we were able to. And so Ruth and I counted it a privilege to be back with you. And as I mentioned, sure is good to see some familiar face. That means you've been faithful. So that's an exciting thing, even on a snow-covered morning. And it's good also to see some new faces. That shows there's some growth in the church. And so be faithfully praying for your pastor. I don't know if he's driving back first the week or so, but be praying for him. I had a good conversation with him. I think it was on Wednesday. And so I know that his heart is here with you. But he doesn't take lightly giving up his pulpit. I know that. And so, but I'm honored to be here. I didn't mention this morning, but thank you for those that brought the breakfast this morning. If you didn't get full, that's your own fault, because there's plenty out there. And so that was a blessing to have that. I don't think you can go wrong with Casey's breakfast pizza. And so that was a good thing. So let's this morning, if you don't mind, if you found your place here in Joshua chapter 14, I'd ask you to stand in honor of God's word. We're just going to, won't keep you standing very long. We're going to look at some verses here just in honor of God's word. Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 5. Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 5. The Bible says, "As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this scripture, for the things we can learn from Caleb and his life, and how you used him in a great way. Father, I pray that you, as we open your word this morning, you'd bless the reading of it. I pray that you would help me to be an encouragement and a help to your people, Lord, as we look at the life of Caleb and how you used him in a great, mighty way. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, will you bless this time as we continue in the service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message, I like to give titles. As you can see, it comes out of verse 12. It says, "Give me this mountain." Or you could say, if you want a subtitle, "Caleb Remembered." But you see in verse 12, it says, "And now, therefore, give me this mountain." The book of Joshua, it's the sixth book of the Old Testament, sixth book of the Bible, it's been referred to as the book of battles. Anybody that reads the Bible and says the Bible is boring needs to read it better. because I don't think the Bible is boring. Now, I can tell you, I don't get super excited about the genealogy, but it's just as much as inspired in God's Word as here in the book of Joshua, where you have some wars on. I'm a military guy. I retired from the military, so I like to read about the battles. Right after Moses, of course, Moses was supposed to take the children of Israel in the Promised Land because of his disobedience. He got to look into the Promised Land, but God didn't let him go. And so as Moses goes off the scene, he's replaced by Joshua. And we see here in the book of Joshua, this book of battles, starting in verse 6, we see the battle of Jericho. Of course, God gave them great victory there in Jericho. In chapter 7 and 8, we see the failure, then the ultimate success of the battle of Ai. Chapter 9, we see some battles from central Canaan. Chapter 10, southern Canaan. Chapter 11, the battles in northern Canaan. Chapter 12, we see a summary of all the defeated kings. And then we come to the part where they're going to go into the Promised Land and to try to divide it up and to conquer it. Now, as they approached the Promised Land, Moses gave the land on the east side of the Jordan River to the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were tempted. They saw it. They said, this is beautiful land. This is where we need to be. And Moses said, okay, I'm going to give it to you on this side, but you have to go in with your brothers and help us fight before you come back and get your land. And they did that. The tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half of the tribe of Manasseh. And as they go into the Promised Land, cross over the Jordan River, there's still battles to be had. And it brings us here to Joshua chapter 14, and Caleb makes a statement. He says, give me this mountain. Now, how is it that Caleb could ask for such a difficult task? We've read here, and we're going to look at some other scripture back in the book of Numbers, where in some cases you could have considered this a suicide mission. Caleb is not asking for something simple. Think back to Caleb was one of the original 12 spies. Caleb and Joshua are the only two that went in and got to actually go back into the Promised Land because everyone else doubted God. And we're going to look at that a little bit. And that's where it said that their hearts of the people melted. They didn't trust God. And Caleb, from what he saw, he knew what he was up against, but yet he still came to Joshua and says, give me this mountain. One of the things that he knew he was going to face is the Anakims. The Anakims are a race of giants. And much like maybe we would be, when you see somebody big and tall and more powerful, you get fearful. You get intimidated. I don't know if you've ever went out and door knocked and go knock on the door and there's some big, ugly guy answers the door. Sometimes the tendency is like, oh, you just want to give him a track and go on. But that person has just as much of a soul that needs to know about Jesus Christ as somebody that's meek and willing to listen to us to give a gospel presentation. But here these giants had them intimidated, that they were fearful, but yet Caleb still says, give me this mountain. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, it says, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so just because of their stature and their strength, the majority, the 10 of the spies, says, we can't go in there. There's giants in that land. Well, besides the giants, Caleb said, give me this mountain. If you studied anything, and if you have a military background, you know that the high ground is the ground that's more easily defended. I don't know if you've ever studied much about the D-Day landing. While Ruth and I, we were living in Germany, I was stationed there, I had the opportunity to take a staff ride where we went and walked the battlegrounds of the Normandy invasion. And over 4,400 soldiers, service members, I think there was British, there was Canadian, and obviously there was U.S. Over 4,400 service members lost their lives on that assault on June 6, 1944. And having walked those beaches, I can understand why. Because the German positions were fortified positions on the high ground. And many service members were shot and killed before they even got off the landing craft because they were sitting ducks. And yet Caleb says, I want that mountain, knowing that he was going against a fortified position, the high ground, the difficult ground. But Caleb still says, give me that mountain. The Bible says that the cities were great and fenced, great being they were developed, fortified positions, walled, easily defended. And yet Caleb says, give me that mountain. He didn't expect people just to fall down. He didn't expect the walls to fall down like it happened in Jericho. Caleb knew there might be a battle. But Caleb didn't back away from the challenge. What gave Caleb the motivation to ask for that high ground? Well, number one, Caleb remembered God's promise to him. If you're taking notes, the first point is Caleb remembered God's promise to him. Look back in our scripture there in Joshua chapter 14. Look with me again in verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Caleb remembered what God promised him. Turn back to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to look at a few verses here. Numbers chapter 13. We'll come back there to Joshua 14 so you can hold your spot there. But Moses had sent Caleb and Joshua and the 10 other spies into the land, and it had been 45 years now. And we see here in Numbers chapter 13, start with me in verse 25. Numbers 13 and verse 25. And it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Just a little side note, 40 is a number of quarantine or separation. You'll see it multiple times. I mentioned in Sunday school about the pandemic. For a short period of time, our church did not have live services. And one of the things my pastor felt that we were, even though we were having live services, he was concerned about our children. So Ruth and I came in middle of the week, and we were recorded basically, I don't know, it was about a 45-minute or an hour, basically like a kid's Bible time, we called it. And I did a whole study on the number of 40. There's times of 40 that are good, and there are times of 40 that are bad. But here, the children of Israel, the spies, went out, and they were 40 days in the promised land. Verse 26, it says, and we went and came unto Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the till the wilderness of Parim in Caden, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. The fruit was huge. Grapes and pomegranates and figs. It's like no reason not to go because we're going to eat well, like breakfast this morning. Verse 27, it says, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Again, all good things. Verse 28, though, says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Anakins dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And verse 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. 45 years before the account of Caleb asking for the mountain, Caleb wanted to take it then. Caleb says, hey, God's on our side. We got this. The problem was the majority saw a great giants in a little god, But Caleb saw a great God in little giants. The majority were problem conscious. Caleb was power conscious. And Caleb now is going to stand on those promises that God made to Moses, and Moses delivered to him. And Caleb says, give me this mountain, because he remembered the promises, the promise that God made. He wasn't going to forget the promises that God made to him. You never find Caleb anytime looking at the children of Israel. Caleb was never part of that crowd, the grumbling or the murmuring crowd. Caleb was focused on the task that God had for him. He knew it was an honor to be part of those 12 spies. And just as much as he went in the first time and wanted it and came back and reported, 45 years later, Caleb still had his sight on the promise that God had. I'm going to ask you this morning, what promises have God made you that we've forgotten about? We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. If you've trusted Christ your Savior, you have the gift of eternal life. You know, I think sometimes over the time I've been saved, there were times where I've sort of taken it for granted. Do we think back to the day that we knelt our head and asked Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins? Trusting His shed blood, His death, burial, and resurrection so we can get to go to heaven? Or do we just go through life on a day-to-day basis, get so busy with the mundane routine that we go through that we forget that Jesus died on the cross for us and He saved our wretched soul? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a promise. My favorite verse in the Bible, and if you call my house or my cell phone, you're going to get an answer machine with my life verse, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. And just like Caleb had not forgotten the promise that God made, God's made promises to us. But how many times do we just forget? And then we wonder why all the pain and the trials of this world are just wearing us down. Because we've forgotten what God's done for us. I wore a button today. Almost every year our church in Topeka, we have a different theme. Several years ago, it was Never Walk Alone. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what you're facing today or what you're going to face tomorrow, realize God has not left us alone. He's there with us. That Holy Spirit dwells within us and comforts us. John chapter 14 and verse 16 it says, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Right in that same chapter, John chapter 14 and verse 26, that tells us the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Really, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that Holy Spirit came to dwell within you. And it's not you and your problems. You have the Holy Spirit. When I was growing up, I listened to the wrong kind of music. I grew up in a home where we listened to a lot of country and western music. I say that's the wrong kind of music. And for a while, as a younger Christian, I thought I was okay if I still continued to listen to that music, if I didn't do it at home where my wife would hear it, or our infant son would hear it, or a coworker wouldn't hear it. So I would only have this type of music in the car. And as we talked about in Sunday school where God had an audible voice, it was almost like God had an audible voice. One day I was driving to work at Fort Hood, Texas, and it was as if God asked, you never asked me what you wanted me to play on the radio. Because that Holy Spirit was dwelling inside of me. And while I thought I was hiding my sin and thinking it was only affecting me, no, the Holy Spirit was right there all along with me. And it didn't appreciate the music. And it convicted me that I should give up that kind of music. But God's given us a promise that Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's a comforter. The Bible promises us over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. God's going to meet our physical needs. Does that mean we're going to have the nicest car in the parking lot or the nicest house in the neighborhood? No. But God's going to take care of our needs. We shouldn't have to worry about those things. And just as Caleb remembered the promises that God made him, we ought to remember some of the promises God made to us. Because when we face some obstacle or some challenge, we ought to have the same confidence that Caleb had and say, give me this mountain, because we know the promise that God made to us. Number two, Caleb could say, give me that mountain, because Caleb remembered his own commitment to the Lord. Caleb remembered his own commitment to the Lord. Back in Joshua chapter 14, look with me in verses 8 and 9. If I get there myself. Verse 8 says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Twice in those verses, it talked about how Caleb wholly followed the Lord God. He remembered the time that he surrendered to God. See, Caleb was a man of God. He was totally dedicated. He was committed. He was surrendered, not to his will, but to God's will. He remembered how he'd stood apart in the crowd. Think about the pressure Caleb and Joshua also had as the 12 spies came out and reported back to Moses and the Bible says and Aaron. Were they in the majority? Nope. They were outnumbered, 10-2. But yet Caleb had such faith and such commitment to God that he was willing to take a stand. I don't know about you, but have there been situations where you had to take a stand? I think back when I was a young soldier in the military. I went in 1987. Back then, there was a thing called the Officers Club. There was also an NCO club. And there was a lot of pressure there to join the club. Well, I didn't have a problem before I was saved of being part of that crowd. But when I got saved January 8th, 1989, things changed. My want to changed. I didn't want to hang out at the bar with the other guys. I'd rather hang out with church members. I wanted my testimony not to be known as a drunk, but as a Christian. I remember getting called into not just my boss's office, but my boss's office, the one that made the most important marks on my evaluation report. And he grilled me on why I would not join the officers club. Because the retention numbers for the club weren't very good. So they were putting pressure on the NCOs and the officers to join the club. I didn't want to join the club because I felt my testimony for Christ was more important. And my evaluation for that year suffered because I took a stand for Christ. And I was a young Christian at the time. And I'm thinking, is it worth it? But absolutely was it worth it. But just like Caleb faced some obstacles, some challenges, you may face some challenges and obstacles in your life. We have to remember that we need to take a stand. Christ left us here to be a testimony for Him. You know, there may be a situation at work where a coworker is telling a dirty joke or using the Lord's name in vain. Rather than standing there and say, "Ooh, tell me more," we ought to take a stand. As I said, when I gave up the club, it means I gave up maybe some connections. I didn't lose anything. In the time, you may think you're losing something. But I gained far better relationships with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that love the Lord. But in the moment, it's very tempting to be drawn in by the world. But there are times we have to take a stand. Was there a time that you surrendered to the Lord? There's a gentleman in our church that Ruth and I actually knew while we were stationed in Germany. Fast forward now, 20-some years, we served the Lord together at South Norwood Baptist Church. The Lord had called him into the ministry years ago. And for years, he didn't do anything. But right now, we're praying together that the Lord may send him right now to go take over a church down in Arkansas. We're excited about that. But he remembers the commitment that he made to the Lord decades ago. God's plan didn't change. But sometimes we forget the commitment that we've made. Has there been a time that you've made a dedication to the Lord? You said, Lord, whatever you want. Maybe it's to be a missionary. Maybe it's to be full-time in the ministry. Maybe it's just to be sold out as a husband or wife for your family. To be a sold-out church member. I know you're here on Sunday morning, but does that mean you're going to be back here Sunday night? Are you going to be back here at the midweek service? When the church has a special event, can the pastor count on you to be there? Yeah, I don't know who comes and who doesn't, so this is a blanket shot. But you know where you're committed and where you're not committed. And Caleb remembered that he'd made some commitments to God. He wasn't going to back up on it. 45 years after he went into the promised land, he still remembers what he committed to God. So there's no expiration date. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We see a sad account here of the church in Ephesus where they've backed up on what God wanted them to do. Revelation chapter 2. Start with me in verse 1. Revelation 2 and verse 1. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. All good stuff. But then verse 4 it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent. Repent means to turn. Come back. This is, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Here's a church that was doing a lot of good things, but Jesus said, you lost your first love. Jesus says, remember. Caleb could say, give me that mountain, because he remembers the commitments he made to the Lord. What commitments have you made that you've backed up on, that you've forgotten? Have you lost your first love? Maybe it's being a witness for Christ. Maybe it's being daily reading your Bible. Maybe it's having a regular time of prayer. Maybe it's Bible memorization. I don't know what it is, but have you forgotten that commitment you made to the Lord? Number one, Caleb remembered God's promise to him. Number two, Caleb remembered his own commitment to the Lord. And number three, and finally, Caleb remembers God's faithfulness to him. Caleb remembered God's faithfulness to him. Look back in Joshua chapter 14. Look with me in verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old, not a spring chicken. Verse 11, it says, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. It said there in verse 10, it says, the Lord hath kept me alive. Does God promise us another day? Nope. We have a family in our church, the Wood family. Large family. just several months ago, Ruth and I had, through our discipleship ministry at our church, had the opportunity to disciple Joe and Jeanette Wood. Brother Joe's about 61, Miss Jeanette's somewhere in her 50s. They have how many, 11 kids? Some biological, some adopted. Through our discipleship ministry, I sat across the table from Brother Joe for months on end, probably about 4 months. I was his discipler, built a close relationship with him. We served together in the church. One of their daughters lives up in Oregon. They headed out, whole family gathered up in Oregon for Thanksgiving. This past Wednesday, while all the kids were there with the older sister, Joe and Jeanette went with a little coffee date. As they were driving back to where all their kids were, a tree fell across the road, hit their vehicle, and took Joe's life. Jeanette is still in the hospital, multiple lacerations, I think broken back. Don't even know much more details than that. What a wonderful way to spend Thanksgiving. The day before your husband, your dad, your grandfather, gone. I know just a week or so ago at our church, we presented certificates to the Woods and several others that completed our discipleship ministry. As Brother Joe and I stood behind the pulpit there in our church, and I was talking about the honor of being his discipler, little did I know that that would be the last time I see him alive. God does not promise us another day. But here, Caleb remembered that God had been faithful to him. 45 years from the time that he went into the promised land, came back and gave the good report, and had to watch the 10 have a bigger influence. Caleb was faithful for 45 years, holding on to that faithfulness of God. God had not failed him. Except for Joshua, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones of that generation that got to go into the promised land. 85 years old, what a senior saint he was. He wasn't ready to quit. He wasn't going to rest on his laurels. He was continuing to go on. As I mentioned in Sunday school, as the Lord moved my family around, we've been in 11 different churches, and I've had the opportunity to serve with some great senior saints. There's a lady at our church right now, Miss Bonnie Wires. She teaches our Lady Sunday School class called the Victory Class. Miss Bonnie's 81 years old and faithful week after week after week in her Sunday School class to those ladies. Our expectation is our classes do quarterly activities. Miss Bonnie goes above and beyond that. She does monthly activities with her ladies because she just loves her ladies. But more importantly, she loves her Lord. She lost her husband years ago, but Miss Bonnie is just faithful week in, week out, as God's been faithful to her. Caleb remembered how God had been faithful to him. God had taken care of him every hour up to this point. And then Caleb comes there and says, "Give me this mountain." He knew he was asking the best from God. He knew he was asking for a tough task. And he knew he was asking for something only God could give. You know, when God places a need in your life, we ought to pray to the point where God gets the credit for it. Not where it's like, oh, well, you know, we have this need at church and I'm just going to pay. I'm going to throw the money in the offering plate to take care of it. I want God to work in such a way that God and God alone gets the credit for it. And that's how Caleb was. He just reminded Joshua of the promises that God had given Moses. He was just cashing in, but he was counting on God to do it. What mountains before you this morning? What challenge do you have? What promise have you forgotten? What commitment have you went back on God? God's still there. And just like Caleb went to God and said, "Give me this mountain." Whatever you're facing today, maybe it hasn't taken 45 years for you to cash it in. But why don't you take the challenge this morning and say, "God, give me that." Maybe it's not a mountain. Maybe it's victory over some sin in your life. Maybe it's a lost loved one that you're praying for. But just like Caleb remembered God's promise to him, Caleb remembered the commitment he made to the Lord, and he remembered God's faithfulness to him, we can have those same assurances and go to God and say, God, give me, you fill in the blank. God's given us today. Just like Joe Wood doesn't have tomorrow. I don't know if I have tomorrow. You don't know if you have tomorrow. But what promises have God's given to you that we're sitting back sheepish and saying, well, I don't think God can do it. You don't see any hesitation in Caleb's life. And at 85 years old, he's ready to take the mountain because he knew he had God's blessing. He had God's favor. And that can be for us today.